Good afternoon, everyone. Again, you don't know how glad I am to be here with you today. And I am very much impressed by all of you here to be in church today, despite the fact that it's so cold. Is it all right with you if I keep this big coat on? Thank you. I understand you don't have Pastor Roach anymore, and you're looking around for another pastor. The Lord is going to answer that prayer. Amen. Thank you, River Falls, for that item. I don't know if you remember the last time I came here, she played again, and I asked for her. I made a request that she plays again. Church, we are living in a serious time. No, this is serious. And every time this sacred hour comes, and we can gather together like this in peace, we ought to do so with a great deal of thanksgiving and with an awareness that it shall not forever be like this. Some things are happening before our very eyes every day. And some of the stuff that's going on is frightening. But God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be aware. And you and I, we need to draw close to God more than any time else. When you switch the radio on, or when you switch the TV on, or when you're about to listen to the news, you have to prepare your nerves for shock. When the word of God now is no longer relevant. When two men are allowed to marry. And dare you say anything about it. And children are taught things that are contrary to the Bible. It's happening today. And this week, the BBC has told us that right now on this earth, there are 41 different wars going on right now. So much unrest is going on in this world right now, brethren. Jesus is coming soon. And one another thing that has shocked me, brethren, about a year ago, the Lord had placed on my heart to write the names of all those young people who used to attend church. And brethren, the number is staggering. The amount of people who have left the church. I'm not even talking young people, senior folks. And so we wrote a list. We got a list together and we split the names up. And like two members would go and see one person, and there was one particular young lady that nobody didn't want to go and look for. And so I decided that I'll go. And I went to her house and I knocked on the door, and a Caucasian guy answered the door. And I said, "Is it all right for me to speak to Karen?" He said, "Just a minute. Who are you?" I said, "I'm from the church." And he said, "Okay, just a minute." And he went inside and he shut the door. And he came back and he said, "She doesn't want to talk to you." Now, brethren, this is someone who used to sing. And so, look, I just tell her, I just want a moment with her. I haven't come to give a Bible study or anything. I just want to speak to her. And then she came down the stairs and she said, "Raymond, what do you want?" I said, I haven't brought a Bible. I haven't brought my hymn book. I haven't come to give you a Bible study. I just want to find out what went wrong. And you know, brethren, there's this thing where they're always saying the reason why they ain't going to church is because there ain't too many hypocrites in the church. That's the excuse. But you see, brethren, even though they may be hypocrites in the church, but you can't allow that to stop your salvation. She said to me, she's going to come back to church. But she'll come back when she knows probation will soon close. Is there anybody in here knows when probation is going to close? And so this list that I have with all these young people, one elder said to me, Rhema, look, why are you spending so much time on these people who already know God? Why don't you use some of that time and talk to someone who does not know God? But I thought for a while, I said, no, I would hate to be a backslider and nobody's thinking about me. And so, brethren, I want you, even those around in your Watford area, please pray for them. And you know, try, you know, one thing I don't do anymore, I don't tell them to come back to church. You know why? I've found out that some have left the church because of members in the church. And so I tell them that Jesus wants you back. And it makes a difference. But there is a servant in jail. His name was John. And he had been in prison for several months. But first of all, brethren, I want you to know that despite all the things that are going on in this world today, God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be aware. Ellen White said, if we would study the books of Daniel and Revelation, there will be a revival amongst God's people. A revival amongst God's people. In another place, she says, a revival of true godliness amongst us is the greatest need. And all of us must urgently have this need for a revival in our lives. Because, brethren, we are living in an age of trial. We are going to be tested, every single one of us. And that test is going to be severe. A severe testing is upon us. No matter how long you've been in the church, brethren, it's coming. Peter was the spokesman amongst all the disciples. He was the one who always stepped forward and had something to say. At one point, he was the one who looked at Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, and he said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Another place he said, Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Three times he asked, "Lovest thou me?" And there's another place where Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? No, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here a tabernacle, one for thee and one for Moses and Elias." Peter was the one who always had something to say. And Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." But there was a servant in jail. His name was John. And he had been in prison for several months. And brethren, I want you to know that prisons in those days were not like prisons today. They didn't have prison reform. They didn't have good food. They didn't have inner spring mattresses and air conditioning in those days. As a matter of fact, those prisons were calculated to drive a man crazy. And the devil has a way of taking advantage of us in our lower circumstances. He will suggest doubts and fears and unbelief. He will try to blow your mind unless you have the scriptures settled in your mind. The devil couldn't do anything to John while John was preaching. The preaching of John was empty in the synagogues. And when John was the talk of the town in those days, when hundreds of people would follow him as he preached each day, the devil will discourage you. He will look, brethren, this is what happened to this poor man. He will look for your weakest point. He will try to destroy your faith and your confidence in God. In Desire of Ages, page 182, we read, there were hours, talking about John, there were hours when he was in prison, the whispering of demons would torture him while he's there. And the shadow of all the terrible fears crept over him. Dark dungeon, stench, clanking of chains and squeaking rats around his feet. Discouragement met this man. Then he'll ask the question, did I go too far with my preaching? Brethren, I want you to know that this was the same John. He had never seen Jesus before. John had never seen Jesus before. And yet he was standing waist deep in the River Jordan. And he looked down the side and he saw John coming. He'd never seen Jesus before. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Brethren, do you know what behold means? Look, the Lamb of God. This is John who spake with great confidence that he'd never seen. Now, brethren, listen to this carefully. If it is easy for you to say today that, yes, this is the truth, this is the true church, it'd be easy for you to say that today. But a time is going to come when your answer will not be so sure. You will stop and think about it. Am I in the right church? Is this the true church? Why is it that we are a minority? Should I go and join the church where the crowd is? It's coming. It's coming. So what brought John to ask this question? Are you he that should come, or should we wait for someone else? What brought John to that? It was circumstances, tribulation, persecution, abuse, discouragement, mistreatment. Well, what is it with John? What's wrong with him? He was human. And you are human. Now, brethren, if you have never known trial in your life, I want you to know it's coming. It's coming to every one of you, every single one of us. Young people, it's going to happen. And brethren, if there's ever a time our young people need to spend some time together in God's word. Oh, brethren, some things are happening in our churches today that, I'm sorry, it frightens me. And when I read some of the things that Ellen G. White said that would happen just before the close of probation, I see it happening in some of our churches today. Oh, brethren, if you hear some of the music that's played in some of God's churches. And we're told that we need to make our worship more exciting. And the devil is behind this. And people want excitement more than the word of God. It's frightening. It's frightening. This trial is coming, brethren. All of us are going to get something unless we got this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Brethren, now is the time for you and I to have both feet firm in the church. Oh, brethren, I hate to think, and you know, you and I, we have to examine ourselves all the time. You've got to examine yourselves to make sure that you don't have one foot in the church and the other foot outside. Once you decided to follow all the Bible Christian principles directed by the Holy Spirit and live a devotional life, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tried. Some individual preparation is needed. You will be considered odd. Some people are going to look at you as odd, all because you are following God's word. People are going to look at you as if you're queer, as if there's something wrong with this person. You're odd. When you start to live right, when you start to live right. Ellen White says that when you are riding high, beware, because forces are already placed in motion to bring you back down again. They're there. There are even folks in church who will discourage you. But you've got to hang in there. Hang in there and know that God is still with you. Now then, what was it that brought John to this situation where he's asking the question, sending his two disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you really the one who we should wait for? Or should we wait for somebody else? But here's the key point that I want you to get, brethren, and I don't want you to miss this. This is when John had himself a problem, he didn't send his disciples to the popular preachers in those days. When John had himself a problem, he didn't send the disciples to the PhDs and those in the leading universities. When John had himself a problem, he didn't send to the fortune tellers and astrologists. He didn't send to the scribes and the Pharisees. When John had himself a problem, he did the one thing that turned his whole life around. He sent directly to Christ himself. That's the point. You and I have got to learn to go to Jesus one-on-one. We have to, you see, brethren, you have to talk more of him. You have got to settle this thing with yourself, by yourself. Our pastors and our elders are dedicated men and women, but we've got to get this thing right with Christ. You may call them 1 o'clock in the night, 2 o'clock with a problem. But brethren, you and I have got to come to this point in our lives where we deal with this thing with Jesus personally. When there's an issue in your life that it's not too clear, you've got to learn to go to Jesus. Music, relationships, what to watch on TV. Oh, brethren, we have to do this thing in such a way that even sexual matters, we have got to ask God to help us. In Testimony Treasures, volume 2, we read, there are those around us who are weak in moral power. They need to be in the company of those who are firm and whose hearts are closely knit with the heart of Christ. What do you say, church? And they are there in the church. When the devil whispers to you that you are low down to make it, let's go to Jesus. Amen. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, we read, he is able to save to the utmost those who come unto God by him. 2 Peter, we read in chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And brethren, we have to come to that point where we believe that. There's a song that I found online. Wonderful song. It says, weary soul by sin oppressed, spend 1 hour with Jesus. He will give your spirit rest. Spend 1 hour with Jesus. He has felt your grief before, numbered all your sorrows o'er. He will every joy restore. Spend 1 hour with Jesus. Oh, brethren, go to Jesus when no one would have anything to do with you. Go to Jesus when you're lonely. Go to Jesus when you've lost someone to the grave. Go to Jesus and hear him say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? And always have this constant awareness of his abiding presence around you. And you know, brethren, what I like about Jesus? You may pray for any need. You may pray for length of life, as Hezekiah did. You may pray for help, as Daniel did. You may pray for light, as blind Bartimaeus did. You may pray for rain, as Elijah did. Or you may pray for a son, as Hannah did. Or you may pray for money, like I did. Not only that, you may pray anywhere. You may pray on the sea, as Peter did. Or under the sea, as Jonah did. You may pray in a desert wilderness, as Hagar did. Or on a cross, as the thief did. You may pray anyhow. You may pray a short prayer, as the publican did. Or you may pray a long prayer, as Moses did. Or you may pray in your silence, as the woman who touched the hem of his garment did. Or you may pray in a crowd, as the Syrophoenician woman did. Or you may pray in your tears, as the woman caught in adultery did. And you may pray anytime. You may pray in the morning, as David did. Or at noon, as Daniel did. Or at midnight, as Paul and Silas did. Or in your childhood, as Samuel did. Or in your youth, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Or as an adult, as the jailer did. Or in your old age, as Simeon did. Or when you're laid down to die, as Christ did. But in any case, learn to pray. And talk to God. Brethren, I believe in the closet prayer. Jesus was the one who talked about the closet prayer. And when you go in, shut the door and release everything to the Lord. Oh, brethren, it works. It's a true. If Jesus said it, it works. And if you're thinking of building a house, a brand new house, put in that plan a little room, a closet place where you can go and let it all out to Jesus. It works. It really does work. Carry much business to Christ, your mediator. Give him employment as your intercessor. And as you pray, know that in his good time, he will answer. Amen? Amen. He'll answer. Oh, brethren. I can tell you now, with all the prayers that we're doing, we need now to start remembering some people, brethren. I don't know. I just have this burden for those who no longer go to church. Because, brethren, we know. We've studied it we've studied all the time. It's one of our fundamental beliefs that the sanctuary, Christ is in the sanctuary. And one day he's going to stop that work in that sanctuary, brethren. And when he stops that, probation closes. Probation closes. It means no more prayers. He's not receiving it. He's getting ready to come back, brethren. And listen to me. I believe more than any time else that Jesus is going to stop that work very soon. And brethren, this is why now I have this burden for those who no longer go to church anymore. The other day we had to bury a young man. He was on the list that I have. Not going to church anymore. And thank God. Thank God I got his phone number. And I spoke to him. And I said, look, man, what's going on, man? He says, oh, brethren, oh, Raymond, I've got lots of stuff going on in my life, man. I said, well, Jesus wants you back now. I said, I understand what you're saying, Brother Raymond. But I got to get this stuff done first. And I didn't hear from him again. He blocked me on WhatsApp. And then his sister called me not long ago. She said, Raymond, my brother has died. I did the funeral. And brethren, the folks that were there, the majority of folks that were there, were people who used to go to school with him in Highland House. And then they moved on to John Loughborough. And they were all were there. And none of them go to church anymore. None of them don't go to church anymore. But they gave me their phone numbers. They gave me their phone numbers. And I said, look, I'm going to stay in contact with you folks. I'm going to stay in contact with you. And brethren, somebody has to be concerned for these people, because the devil is around like a roaring lion. And sometimes when they know you're from the church, they'll block you on WhatsApp. They don't want to hear nothing more about God anymore. That's how far down they've gone, brethren. That's how far they've gone. And one of the worst things that could ever happen to someone who has left the church is that they didn't make it right before they died. And some of you in here right now, you know someone who doesn't go to church anymore. You know someone who don't go to church anymore. You see them in Asda, you see them on the bus, you see them all around. You know they don't go to church anymore. Brethren, I'm asking you, please, think about yourself for a moment, being backslidden. Going to reach out to them to get them back. Get them back. Because, brethren, when you look at the story of the ark, when the ark door was closed, they didn't know probation had closed. The door of the ark was closed and people got on with their life, business as usual. And somebody's got to be concerned. If you're not doing any witnessing in church, if you know you're not doing nothing for God right now, somebody's got to be concerned for these folks who don't go to church anymore. So, brethren, I'm closing. If Jesus is not number one in your life now, I'm calling on you to make him number one in your life. Please. Because probation is soon to close. And we are going to be tested. Oh, but brethren, there's no other denomination on this earth. God has given this church a mandate more than any other church. We have this last day judgment bound message to preach. Nobody else has it. No other denomination has it. And God is relying on you seated here to get the message across. Amen, church? Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we see your coming soon, Lord, change our lives now. Lord, some of us are seated here. We haven't done nothing for you. But Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for being merciful. Lord, change us now today. May we walk out of this building today with something in our hearts that we will go and meet somebody, oh God, who needs to come back to thee. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not dealing with us according to our sins. Thank you for your mercy. And take us to the place where we need to go now in our lives before it is eternally too late, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.